You are currently on a checkbox.
Well, hi there, everybody. Once again, Matt Volbrecht coming at you with another podcast. And before we do it, I want to give you my contact information, as always. Now, if you'd like to get in touch with me, please feel free to send an email to m.jvolbrecht@comcast.net. Volbrecht is spelled V as in Victor, L, oh, excuse me, I can't even spell my own name, oh geez, V-O-L-L, B as in Barbara, R-E-C-H, T as in Thomas, V-O-L-L-B-R-E-C-H-T, so M as in Matthew, .jvolbrecht@comcast.net, or you could send email to volbrecht_family@me.com. Hopefully, the rest of the podcast will go very smoothly, even though I could not spell my own name for a moment. Got a little tongue-tied there. In this podcast, thank you for listening. I'd like to demonstrate and discuss just a little bit. I'd like to first talk about some recent updates, as I often do at the beginning of podcasts, some recent updates that Apple has released and some nice things that they've done, and then I want to get into a demonstration of something that you may already know about, but if you don't, it might excite you. It certainly did me when I heard about it. It is an Apple product, and I'm going to discuss it in just a moment. But first, let's talk about some of the other updates and things that Apple has done recently. I mentioned this in another podcast at one point in time. Not sure where or if it's made it up anywhere yet to some of the sites you're familiar with, but I did mention iLife 11 for the Mac. iLife 11 includes the same applications that it always has, but it's received updates to three of them: iPhoto, iMovie, and GarageBand. I strongly encourage those of you who use a Mac to upgrade to iLife 11. There have been some tremendous accessibility enhancements to those apps with VoiceOver, and even things like iPhoto, though you obviously won't see the photos themselves, even things like using iPhoto become very, very easy and very nice and user-friendly for those of us who are blind or those who have low vision and who use VoiceOver with Snow Leopard. So I would strongly recommend it. GarageBand is phenomenal with VoiceOver in iLife 11. iMovie seems to be pretty phenomenal, too. I haven't played with it a whole bunch, but it seems real nice. iWeb and iDVD did not really receive any updates. In fact, I think they were the same version number at this point in time. And I think there was a fair amount of accessibility already in iDVD. iWeb may have some accessibility issues. But nevertheless, you know, it's a lot of progress. It's a really good thing. So I strongly recommend that. Another one high on the list of recommended updates for you if you have an iPhone, an iPod Touch, or an iPad, or any combination of the above. iOS 4.2. Get it, folks. It's free, it's great, and it's very good. Very accessible, very user-friendly, nice additional features. The ability to print to any one of a number of compatible printers. Right now, HP pretty much rules the roost when it comes to what is supported by iOS 4.2 AirPrint. I have one of the new HP web-enabled all-in-ones. It's the E-all-in-one, D110. There might be an A after that or an E after that, something like that, but it's the D110. You'll find it that way. Pretty inexpensive all-in-one print, scan, copy, nice printer. Fast, very easy to use, ink is reasonably priced, and it does allow you to print directly from the iPad, the iPhone, and the iPod Touch without the installation of any special software or drivers. In addition to that, because it has the ePrint feature, you can print from your iPhone when you're not home, or any device or computer or smartphone or whatever that can send email. It can print documents and pictures right from wherever you are and send them to your home printer that's on a Wi-Fi network. If you don't have or don't want to get one of those HP printers, there is another option. A couple of third-party companies have made some software. One is called Printopia, just like it sounds, P-R-I-N-T-O-P-I-A. And another one is called Fingerprint, with a hyphen in it. And they actually install on the Mac and enable the existing printer that you have, as long as it's a Wi-Fi, you know, printer, to work with the iPad. And that doesn't seem like it's going to be a problem. Apple hasn't said anything about that, so I'm assuming that it's although it wouldn't be directly supported by Apple because it's not an Apple product, I'm assuming that it's, you know, something that is perfectly workable. And that is another option at this point in time. And I'm assuming more printer manufacturers will join the list of supported printers directly, so you don't have to worry about that. Another great feature in iOS 4.2 is AirPlay. I'm going to come back to AirPlay in a few minutes, but suffice it to say right now, for starters, that AirPlay allows you to wirelessly play music on a number of devices throughout your home. The probably easiest one right now is the AirPort Express, available from Apple. You can connect that AirPort Express to any speaker system or dock, and it works great. Through iTunes on a Mac or a PC, it allows you to actually play in multiple rooms at the same time if you've got AirPort Expresses throughout the house. You set up the AirPort Express from your Mac, and you're good to go. Then you can stream music to the living room and the bedroom, or the kitchen, or all the rooms, that whatever. The iOS devices do one at a time. You can't actually choose multiple ones at the same time, but it doesn't really matter because they'd all be available. You can switch easily, allow the music to follow you, and it's a real nice option. Doesn't require you to have to physically connect your iOS device to a dock or speaker system if you have these, and of course it requires a Wi-Fi network. And there are some other nice features in 4.2, especially for the iPad, because this is the first time now the iPad is brought up to speed, joins the rest of the fleet, if you will, in where it is as far as features, multitasking, the unified inbox, message threading, what else do we have? Folders on the home screen, the ability to actually control your iOS device with VoiceOver by way of a keyboard dock or wireless Bluetooth keyboard. What else? There's just a ton of great features in 4.2, so I strongly recommend that. Very, very good. And by the way, there's some new text tones for the iPhone if you are into trying different sounds and stuff. For your text message alerts, you can do that. So that's a really good update all the way around. And another thing that the AirPlay feature allows you to do is not only to stream music, but I wanted to wait and come back to this now, because it also allows you to wirelessly stream video and photos from the Photos app, the YouTube app, the Videos app, and even Safari, I believe. I think Safari, maybe a few others, wherever the developer has incorporated support for it, some very nice apps from your iOS device to a television through the second generation Apple TV. And I want to talk a little bit about the second generation Apple TV for just a moment. Some of you may be familiar with the first generation one. When I very first did a podcast on here, the very first demonstration I ever did, it was an iPhone 3GS. I had mentioned that the Apple TV was not accessible, but it was still a nice device. Well, soon after that, Apple took steps to make it somewhat accessible, if as long as you had an iOS device. You could get the free remote app, and you could play movies, TV shows, music, whatever, on your Apple TV by way of that device. And since the iPhone, iPod Touch, and iPad are accessible, hence the you know, you'd be able to do it. And I do that to this day. It works very nicely. I have a first-generation Apple TV that we use in our bedroom. It's got 160 gigabytes of internal storage, and it works great. But second-generation Apple TV, something even more amazing has happened, and that is that Apple has added VoiceOver to the Apple TV. This will not come to the first-generation Apple TV because the first-generation Apple TV does not run the iOS. It runs a different type of operating system. It uses a kind of a lower-level Intel processor, and it's just very different. Second-generation Apple TV, though the interface looks similar to that of the first generation, it is actually running a version of the iOS with one of Apple's A4 chips, and they're considering it version 4.1 right now, and it is entirely a streaming device. It is about a fourth the size of the first generation Apple TV. Very, very small, fits in the palm of your hand. One type of connection to the television, so they've made things very, very simple. Two cables are really all you need. Power and HDMI. You gotta have an HD television, LCD, LED, plasma, whatever. But Steve Jobs put it very nicely, and I quote, "The HD revolution is over. HD won." That's pretty much how he said it. I don't know if that was an exact quote, but I think it was. And anyhow, you know, he's right. Most people have or will be getting HD televisions at some point. And there is another jack on the back, actually a couple. There's a USB, which is strictly for Apple for diagnostic purposes and stuff, in the unlikely event that that would ever be needed. There's an Ethernet port for those who really do want a hardwire to a network. And there's an optical audio port. But most people will connect the Apple TV, as I have, power cable, HDMI. And then that's it. Connect over Wi-Fi. 802.11n wireless in this thing. And no internal storage. Well, I guess there's like, there were discovered to be 8 gigabytes of internal storage. But that's really just to hold what you're watching at the time. And what happens is this thing streams from any one of a number of sources. You can rent TV shows for as low as 99 cents in HD. You can rent movies, first-run movies even, and you can rent all kinds of content directly from the iTunes store, and it's available instantly to watch. You can watch it within 30 days, and then once you start it, you've got, I think, 48 hours to actually watch or rewatch it. And of course, you can pause and go make the snack, answer the phone, whatever, rewind, fast-forward, and it's a great, great interface. It comes with a nice aluminum Apple remote. Now you might say, what about all the content I already own? I've bought movies and TV shows from iTunes. I have DVD content that I've converted, home movies and such. You know, what about that? And that's no problem. Because all of that stuff, movies, TV shows, music, photos, and more, can be streamed from your computer. And it's actually, even though it worked nicely in the first generation, it's much easier in the second. It uses iTunes home sharing. So you simply enable home sharing on the device and on your computer, enter the Apple ID and password. Also, you can go to the advanced menu of iTunes and enable photo sharing, which is separate. If you want to do that, you click choose photos to share, and you can do that too. But either way, you're set to go. No passcodes to enter, no nothing. It's very, very straightforward, very simple. Another thing that the second generation Apple TV allows you to do is to stream Netflix content. So if you're a Netflix subscriber, as low as $7.99 a month, and I've got to give a plug for Netflix. I don't work for them or have any kind of, kickback, you know, when I do this. But I've got to say, Netflix is a really, really nice company. I really like Netflix a lot, just as I really like Apple a lot. And I really like what Netflix is doing. I like they're easy to work with. They are very customer oriented, and just a super company from every experience that I've had. I've been a member since June. Gotten movies on DVD and now done some streaming as well. There is a Netflix app for the iPad. It is accessible. There's a version for the iPod Touch and the iPhone. There is streaming to your computer, Mac or PC, and now to the new Apple TV. You enter your user ID, email ID, and password, and you're good to go. You're not just limited to movies that are already in your instant queue either. You can actually search movies, do the recommendations, add them to your queue, and everything right from the Apple TV, and all with VoiceOver. So it's a great implementation of Netflix that Apple included in that Apple TV iOS software. And then you can also access your Mobile Me gallery. So if you have a Mobile Me membership and you put photos and videos in that, you can access them. You can access Flickr, and you can access podcasts and internet radio and YouTube. YouTube is always good old YouTube, still available, always will be, I'm sure. It's better than ever on the second generation Apple TV. AirPlay, as I was starting to talk about, does stream as well to your Apple TV. And there's a list of, you don't name the device from your computer like you used to, like you still do with, you know, other iOS devices, because there's no syncing with the new Apple TV. So instead, there's a menu in settings that you can choose to pick the name for your device. And they've got a bunch of, you know, predefined choices. You can have Apple TV, you can have living room Apple TV, bedroom, kitchen, great room, I think basement, I forget. And then there's also a custom one, so you could enter whatever you want. So you can identify your Apple TV from others on your network, in your home, whatever. And since we've got two, that was a good thing for us. And so I can, on my iPad then, for example, be watching a movie, and I can hit the AirPlay button, and I can choose to stream to my Apple TV. Also, you can be, let's say you take a photo on your iPhone, and then you can stream that. You can display photos in a beautiful slideshow on your Apple TV. And the one limitation right now, which I'm sure will be taken care of later, but the one limitation, if you take video on your iPhone, I'm assuming iPod Touch as well, you must upload the video to YouTube or Mobile Me and then watch it that way on your Apple TV. You cannot AirPlay videos that you've taken in the camera to your Apple TV right now. I'm sure that will change. But I am fairly certain that Safari web video is supported, and I know that YouTube videos in the, you know, video app and photos are in the Photos app are supported, and music in the iPod as well as Pandora Radio, the app just called Radio, and I'm sure that many more will add that support, hoping that SiriusXM will get on board with it pretty quick. They did eventually with multitasking background audio, so I'm sure we can expect down the road to see an update from them that enables AirPlay as well, if that's something that, you know, they choose to do. I sort of think that Hulu, because I know people ask about that one, I sort of think that is not supporting AirPlay right now to the Apple TV, but there is a Hulu app for the iPad, just as a side note, but I'm fairly certain you cannot AirPlay your Hulu videos right now to the Apple TV, and I don't know whether they'll ever change that or not. I'd like to spend just a couple minutes demoing this new Apple TV, because I think you're going to like it, and I want to let you experience what it sounds like, and then we will conclude the podcast. Now, I've got my television on right now, but I do need to bring the computer over to it. Before I do that, however, I'm going to switch the input to my HDMI, and we will get started on this thing. Now, the aluminum Apple remote also works with your, oh boy, I wonder if I can demonstrate that then, because that's a good question. I don't know. We're going to find, I don't remember, I might have paired with this computer, hopefully I did, and that will be all right then. Otherwise, it may try to open Front Row on my laptop here. But that would be funny. Okay, the aluminum Apple remote is very, very nice. And if you are familiar with the plastic Apple remote, it's very similar, except it is bigger overall, just longer. Makes it a little easier if you've got it in a, you know, basket or something. You lose it as easily. It has the, actually what would feel to you perhaps like an iPod Nano 4th or 5th generation click wheel, but it's not. It is just a directional button with a button in the middle. So you've got left, right, up, down, and then the button in the middle, which is kind of your OK, select, play, pause, all that. And then below it, there used to be one single button in the middle as sort of a menu and back button. Now there are two buttons, that menu and back one being on the left, and the one on the right, which I think is actually also used as a play and pause button in some instances. Now, the Apple TV interface works by simply using the up and down and right and left and the middle button, basically, and that occasionally that left, you know, lower left button to go back. The keyboard, you can enter data, you know, alphanumeric data, lowercase and uppercase, and symbols and everything, by way of using the up and down arrows to sort of choose a row, whether it be the capitals, the lowercase, the numbers, symbols, things like that, and then using left and right to go through them to pick the one you want. And then when you find a letter you want to enter, you press the center button to actually enter it. So I'm going to let you hear a little bit now of the Apple TV and what it's capable of doing, what it sounds like. So here we go, bringing the laptop over to the television area. Let's get started. I'm going to just press a down arrow, see where I'm at.
Movies, top movies, button, 1 of 4.
Okay, let's go to the left.
Top movies, button, 1 of 4.
Let's go to the right.
In TV shows. Top TV shows, button, 1 of 4. In internet. Netflix, button, 1 of 6. In computers. Matthew Valbrecht's library, button, 1 of 2. In settings. General, button, 1 of 6. General, general,
and that's
button,
it.
1 of 6.
So, what you heard is movies, TV shows, internet, computers, and settings. And you can pick whichever one of these you want, and then you can do something within them. So, for example, one of the implementations that people may want to do right away is to be able to watch movies that they already have on their computer. So we're going to go back.
In computers. Matthew Valbrecht's library, button, 1 of 2.
Now I use the up and down arrow.
Your Apple TV isn't connected to the network. To check your network settings, choose settings, general, okay, then select network.
I don't know why that would have happened.
In settings, general, button, 1 of 6. In computers, Matthew Valbrecht's library, button, 1 of 2. Valbrecht family's library, button, 2 of 2.
It seems to be picking up my computer. I don't know why that message came up. Let's just press the center button on Valbrecht family's library.
In Valbrecht family's library. Music, button, 1 of... Movies, button. TV shows, button, 3 of 6.
Seems to be working fine.
Movies,
let's pick
button,
movies.
2 of 6.
In movies.
Falcon and the Chipmunks.
Selected volume.
91 okay. Minutes, button, 1 of 76.
Here's my movies. 76 movies.
American President 4X, 3 pounds. Angels in the Outfield. Emmy. Apollo 13. The Aristocats.
Let's just pick a movie here.
79 minutes.
Let's
button,
go,
6 of 76.
We'll do...
Emmy. Angels in the Outfield. American President,
we'll American
4X,
President. Push the center
unplanned.
Button on it.
113 minutes. Button. 2
tells
of
us all the information that there is on it. Push the center.
American President 4X 3. Loading.
And it's going to play fine. I don't know why it was that message about not being connected. It's just playing just fine. And it's streaming from my computer back in the office. My iMac. Here come. There's the movie. I don't know. Just music right now. All right.
Paused.
Paused. Let's use the lower left button to go back.
In movies. American President 4x3 pound. In Valbrecht Family's Library. Movies. Button. 2 of 6. In main menu. Computers. Valbrecht Family's Library.
Okay, all right. Button. Let's go to the left.
In internet. Netflix. In TV shows. Top TV shows.
And button. Here one we have top TV shows.
Genres.
Button.
TV networks. Button. Search. Button. For search.
And
button.
Search.
Four
okay.
of 4.
I don't know where my rented show would appear. I rented a show yesterday. I think it would probably appear.
TV net genres. Top TV shows. In rented. Ferg. 25 hours left.
I missed it. It's the first one up above.
Ferg. 25 hours
rented.
Left.
Rented. Okay. And it is an episode of Glee. I've already rented it. I can watch it.
Play. Button.
It's Glee. More from Fox following this episode.
And there it is.
So here's what you missed on Glee. Kurt's still getting harassed and doesn't know what to do about
Kay.
It. I'm gonna kill it.
And of course, the fast forward and all those things work as well, and you can show the navigation controls with the up and down arrow. Now, I'm gonna...
Summary displayed.
Okay.
In viewers also watched.
I'll go back.
Desperate Housewives in Glee, season 2, in main menu. TV shows.
All right, we're back
rented,
to the main menu.
Ferg,
let's go over
left.
To
in top TV shows. Glee, Grey's Anatomy. Glee.
I need to go up one.
Glee.
Down one.
Top TV shows. Button 1 of 4. In internet. Netflix.
All right.
Button 1 of 6.
We've got Netflix. I'm going to go down to YouTube.
YouTube. Button 2 of 6. In YouTube. Featured. Button.
Let's go to...
Most viewed. Button.
Most viewed.
Loading.
Let's see what's most viewed these days here.
In all time. Charlie bit my finger. Again. HDCYT. Zero. Evolution of dance. Ha ha ha. An experiment. Jeff Dunham. Miley Cyrus.
Oh.
The Climb. Official music video. HQ.
Here's
Hollywood Records.
That
3,
one's probably 49. Good.
119,446,218 view. Loading.
And there it is. We've got Miley's music playing.
I can almost see it. That dream I'm dreaming, but... There's a voice inside.
Now, I will say that if you want to search, you can do that. There's always a search option. YouTube has one, just as the other things do. I did not demonstrate to you right now how to do the keyboard, but I can say that it is doable. And really, it's pretty easy. It really is. It you know, when you first... see it. It may take you a little getting used to, but it is very easy to enter data. As I said, you arrow to what you want, press the center button to actually input it, and then a couple up arrows to the done button when you're done entering in that field, and that's all you need to do. It's not, and there's even a delete, you know, if you search the keyboard enough for it, and a clear to clear the whole field. It's not, you know, like what you would expect to see in a traditional, you know, where you see the one field and you can go back and forth to, the, you know, you enter in one field, you're done, you enter in the next field. And that's all you got to do. Very, very straightforward. So as you can see, this is a full-fledged, I saw one website that listed this feature as being the reading of metadata and other information. That's true, but it's not complete. I'm sure that was posted with very, very good intentions, and I mean no harm or offense to the person who posted that, because it was good that, you know, reference was made to VoiceOver, but it almost leads you to think that it's like what you might have seen on the older, like, you know, last year, fourth and fifth generation iPod Nano, where it just reads the metadata and the basic menus, but that's not the case here. This is the full-fledged VoiceOver screen reader, just like you see on any other iOS device, and it is the iOS device, really. iOS, rather, that's running on this device. So it is voiceover. You will probably need some sighted assistance turning it on the first time, and then it stays with you and does not affect, because these are not gesture based. You know, it's all push button, so it doesn't affect the way anything is entered. So sighted users can continue using it. If they don't want to hear voiceover, they can mute the television, I guess. And then they don't have to even bother turning it off. But it is easy to access. It's under settings, accessibility, and you're good to go. Very, very nice. It reads all the information, as you can see, and even tells you when the screensaver is running. The screensaver runs, and then eventually it goes into sleep mode. So you heard it took a few seconds to first start up and running again when I, you know, first began, but that's to be expected, and then you're good to go. You can rent anything, and as I said, it does not store your content. If you want to buy something and then watch it on the Apple TV, you're better off buying it on another device first and then streaming from that device. You know, and that would be the easiest way to do that. If you really want to buy, you know, an item because you really want the actual content. And I understand that. I do that sometimes too. But a lot of stuff you just want to rent it. And you could rent it several times for the cost of actually buying it, you know. So, pretty nice. Very, very good device. I really like it. And, of course, I applaud Apple for the implementation of VoiceOver as well. All right. That'll do it for this podcast. Ask me your questions. This is a good little holiday present. Buy this and an HDMI cable if you need it. The Apple TV is available at Apple for $99. Not a bad price. And if you're somebody who doesn't have an HDMI port, but you got a widescreen TV, or you really want, for some reason, that onboard storage, first-generation Apple TV is still available indefinitely. Not a long amount of time, I would imagine, because once they sell out, I would think that's probably it. But it is still available at the Apple Store and Mac Mall, and they've lowered that price to $149, so you can get either generation. First generation is not going to have built-in screen access, but if you've got an iOS device, then you're still good to go. And the accessibility on that one, as I said, is going to be limited to what the remote app can do. You're not going to be able to shop the iTunes Store on your Apple TV with the first generation and the remote app. But you could buy on another device and stream, which is essentially what you're doing on the second generation all the time. So, unless you just rent right on the device. But if you've got a library, especially, you know...
Screensaver running.
I don't know if you heard that. It said screensaver running. You know, you could do it that way, too. I think that's everything I've got for you for this time. So, till next time, Matt Volbrecht, and have a good one.